Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're on every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ AM 1400, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. We can also be heard streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura. If all of this sounds like National Public Radio, well, you're getting the idea. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is NPR done right. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. That's 639-0008, or if you're outside of the county, area code 805-639-0008. You'll want to keep that number handy because we have two sandwiches or two salads from Urbane Cafe, their new location in Oxnard, we'll be giving away during this hour. Now, every show has a theme. Our theme today is looking for a new job. Both of my guests will be talking about finding new jobs, one for a high-profile figure, the other for the rest of us. My first guest is one of this country's top political strategists. He's written widely about successful strategies for the Democrats, and we're going to discuss who should President Obama choose to replace Rahm Emanuel, the former White House chief of staff. My second guest brings job searching a little bit closer to home. He's an accidental career coach who's helped more than 2,500 people launch new careers even in the midst of a recession. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Brad Bannon is president of Bannon Communications Research, a Washington, D.C.-based political polling and consulting firm that helps Democratic candidates, labor unions, and progressive issues groups. Campaigns and Elections magazine named Brad a mover and shaker in the political consulting industry. He's also one of the Democratic insiders in the biweekly National Journal Pundit Poll. Brad started Bannon Communications Research in 1984, and his first client was Booth Gardner, who you may remember won an upset primary and general election and went on to serve two terms as the governor of the state of Washington. Before founding his own firm, Brad worked on a couple of high-profile campaigns for a number of successful congressional candidates, including Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts and David Pryor of Arkansas. Brad earned his Master's of Arts in Political Science from the University of Minnesota and his BA from Syracuse University. He grew up in Rhode Island and in New York. He's got two children, and now he lives, surprise, surprise, in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Brad. How are you today?
Thanks for having me on the show, Billy, and a lot of people here in Washington, members of Congress, are going to be looking for jobs starting November 3rd.
That's right, and so it's appropriate that our theme for today is looking for a new job. Now, first of all,
maybe your second guest can help them.
Perhaps he can, and perhaps they're beyond help. We may talk about that a little bit later as well. But let me ask you this. The reason that I asked you on the show is because this is very topical. Rahm Emanuel departed from the White House chief of staff. So as a political insider, did his departure to run for the mayor of Chicago surprise you at all?
No, once the incumbent Chicago mayor, Richard Daley, announced that he wasn't going to run for re-election, everybody assumed, correctly as it was, that Emanuel would run for mayor of Chicago. He had talked many times about his desire to be mayor of Chicago someday, and when the job opened up a couple of weeks ago, it makes sense that he decided to go for it.
Well, help me get my head around this, because I was thinking about this. If Rahm Emanuel's goal is to serve the people, isn't he serving as the chief of staff at the White House for 310 million people in the entire United States a better gig than serving as mayor of Chicago for 8 or 9 million people?
Well, he obviously doesn't think so, but I think there are a couple reasons for his decision. One is I think one thing is going on here, which may factor into it. In the time he's been here in Washington, his family has stayed in Chicago, and he has two young children. So my guess is one reason he decided to do this is so he could be in Chicago and spend more time with his children.
I see.
The second thing is that the working in the White House, especially working as chief of staff, is a high burnout job. You basically work about 19 hours a day, get a little sleep, and come back and do it again. And after 2 years, most people who work at the White House are totally exhausted and spent. And I think you're going to see a lot of people in the Obama, well, not a lot, but several people in the Obama administration leave their jobs after the election, because that typically happens in the middle of a president's term.
All right. That makes some sense. And I want to talk about some of the other high-profile people that have already announced or left their positions as well. So the motivation really is behind to spend more time with the family and to, believe it or not, have more time to yourself rather than being the chief of staff in that high-burnout position.
Well, that and the fact that his, you know, his family is still in Chicago.
Sure.
I think all those considerations played a role in it.
Okay, well, that begs the question then. We've got an opening now for chief of staff. So any of you listening to the sound of my voice, if you're interested, I'm sure you can send your resume in care of the White House. But tell me, Brad, who should President Obama look to replace Mr. Emanuel in that role?
Well, there are a couple of possibilities. The president deferred the issue temporarily by appointing a man named Peter Rouse to fill the job temporarily. Rouse was President Obama's chief of staff when he was Senate Obama. Rouse was very active in the Obama presidential campaign in 2008, and he has been working in the White House all this time. He has got President Obama, because Emanuel wanted to leave so he could start campaigning in Chicago, so the president had to find someone quickly. That's not the kind of job you can leave vacant. So he appointed Peter Rouse. But it's a temporary appointment, and Rouse will certainly be a candidate to get the job permanently. But there are at least two other people whose names figure prominently in the discussions to fill the job on a permanent basis.
And who are those two others?
First one is Tom Daschle. Daschle, up until, I guess, 6 years ago, was a senator from South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was in the Senate, he was the Senate Majority Leader, a job that Harry Reid of Nevada now has. Daschle has been very close to Obama. And at the beginning of 2009, when Barack Obama was nominated, Daschle was President Obama's first choice to be his top health care advisor.
Right.
But after the appointment was announced, information came to light that Daschle had been working for, I think, some sort of health provider. I think it may have been a health insurance company. And also, he had mistakenly deducted some expenses and didn't pay taxes on them. So at that point, it came clear that Daschle couldn't get the job, and he didn't go to work with the administration.
Mm-hmm.
But he's an insider. I mean, he obviously knows the Senate and Capitol Hill very well, and I think some people believe that the president needs a better relationship with Congress than he's had in his first 2 years. So Daschle is an obvious candidate.
Okay.
The other candidate is Leon Panetta, who is currently the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Back in Bill Clinton's second term, Panetta was Bill Clinton's chief of staff in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
Panetta before that was a member of Congress from California for a number of years before he went into the Clinton administration. And he's very much a Washington insider, too, especially good at dealing with Congress, And obviously, because he's CIA director, he obviously has some experience in national security matters.
Sure, sure.
So both those are the two names you hear most often.
Well, we're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody, one of the chief political strategists for the Democratic Party, and we've just outlined who are possible candidates to replace Rahm Emanuel as the chief of staff at the White House. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Brad, right now. Give me the pros and cons of each, Peter Rouse, Tom Daschle, and Leon Panetta, in the role as chief of staff for the White House.
Well, in terms of Panetta and Daschle, they're both consummate D.C. inside players. And so they would bring that to the table in the White House, you know, knowing how to work with other people in Washington, especially Congress.
Mm-hmm.
The downside of Daschle and Panetta, in my opinion, is the fact that they're big-time inside D.C. players.
So the good news is they're insiders. The bad news is they're insiders.
Yeah, very much so. It's a, you know, two-edged sword, because as you know, consummate D.C. insiders, I don't think they're very well positioned to bring the kind of change to Washington that Barack Obama talked about his 2008 presidential campaign.
Hmm. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
And I think that one of the problems the president's had in the first 2 years of his term is he has made too many compromises with D.C. insiders instead of going to Washington and, you know, really restructuring the system significantly. And I'm afraid if Daschle or Panetta become chief of staff, they'll be businesses. I mean, they're both very professional, capable men,
mm-hmm.
but they are both D.C. insiders, and I don't think that's what the president needs right now.
All right, so that leaves Peter Rouse. What are the pros and the cons
of Peter?
Well,
the pro for Peter Rouse is that he has the longest personal relationship with Barack Obama. Rouse went to work for, actually there's an interesting story, Barack Obama was elected to the same, to the Senate, and this must have been 2004, that Tom Daschle lost the Senate seat.
Hmm.
Peter Rouse was Daschle's chief of staff in the Senate. And when Daschle lost, Rouse decided to take a job with one of the new senators whose name was Barack Obama.
How about that?
Rouse has a long-standing relationship with the president.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the kind of credentials and clout that Daschle or Panetta have, but he does have a good relationship with the president. And he's known as kind of an honest broker. Rahm Emanuel had a big temper, and Emanuel was very want to get on the phone and scream at people who disagreed with him. Rouse is more of a conciliated type. He tries to get everybody to play nice in the sandbox with each other, and so those are his credentials for the job. The downside is he really doesn't have a lot of clout and power in the same way Daschle and Panetta do.
So not the experience on Capitol Hill, doesn't have the clout over there. We're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody, who has been named by Campaigns and Elections Magazine as a mover and shaker in the political consulting industry. Brad, we've got to take a short commercial break. I want you to think about this, though, while we're on commercial. Rahm Emanuel is only the most recent departure from the Obama administration in recent months. Let's talk about the other three ranking members that have left as well, Larry Summers, Christina Romer, and, of course, Peter Orszag. We'll talk about that when we come back after this short break.
And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank. You're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. My special guest this first half hour is Brad Bannon, and he is considered one of this country's top political strategists. We've been talking about the departure of Rahm Emanuel as the chief of staff of the White House. But before we get back to Brad, we have to give away a sandwich from Urbane Cafe. I've got a coupon here for a free sandwich or a free salad. Urbane Cafe, their new location at 1750 East Gonzales Road in Oxnard. That's the intersection of Rose and Gonzales. Remember that Urbane Cafe was voted the best sandwich in Ventura County for 3 consecutive years by the VC Reporter. I'll give this coupon away to the third caller at 639-0008, 639-0008. Call in and you can be the winner of the sandwich just in time for today's lunch. Now, Brad, back to you. Before we went to break, I asked you the question, or actually made the point, that Rahm Emanuel is the most recent departure from the Obama administration. However, there have been 3 other high-ranking members that have left as well: Larry Summers, Peter Orszag, the budget director, and Christina Romer. 2 years into the administration, what does the departure of 4 top administrative people, particularly 3 in the business and economy side of things, what does that tell us about the administration, if anything at all?
Well, the first thing is you're going to see a lot more departures after the after Election Day.
Which is typical.
Which is typical. You know, after 2 years, a lot of people just burn up in the White House. And they leave to retain their sanity. But in the case of Peter Orszag, Larry Summers, and
Christina Romer.
Christina Romer, they left because they were all part of the Obama economic team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the president, and perhaps Rahm Emanuel, said, well, listen, we need to change the economic team. Because unemployment's still 9.5%, and I think they said, well, we need a new team to show the American people that we recognize we haven't done particularly well on the economy, and we're going to bring a fresh team in here to do a better job. So
okay.
I believe those departures have some significance. It wouldn't surprise me also if after the election that the Secretary of Treasury, Tim Geithner, who is the head of the economic team, leaves too, because I think with a new Congress and in the second half of the term, I think the president may want to start with a completely new economic team.
Well, that heads me off at the pass. We're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody, and you did head me off at the pass. I was going to ask you about Tim Geithner. If Tim Geithner does leave, as you're suggesting here, what does that say about the economic policy for the second 2 years of the Obama administration?
Well, I think the first thing is it's clearly going to be a lot different. Part of the problem with the old economic team, which will soon be replaced by the new economic team, is that they really didn't agree with each other on how to fix the economy.
Now, that was an understatement if I've ever heard one, yes. I would say there's some major disagreement between Summers, Geithner, and, of course, Paul Volcker, the third leg of that stool.
Yes, and essentially the issue was Geithner comes from Wall Street, and Geithner was reluctant to do anything which he felt would hurt Wall Street or business in general.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem, I was never a big Geithner fan to begin with, because before he became Obama's Treasury Secretary, he was the head of the Federal Reserve Branch in New York City.
Yes, he was.
And as the head of the Federal Reserve Branch in New York, he played a key role in the banker bailout in the fall of 2008. And I thought the last guy you want to have as Secretary of Treasury is a guy who's a creature of Wall Street after all the problems they caused.
Sort of the fox in the hen house syndrome?
Exactly.
Hmm.
But I think there's been a lot of dissension within the economic team about the economy. And again, I think the president's going to want to start out with a clean slate going into the second half of his term.
Well, it will be interesting to see if your prediction pans out. I think that it might be good for the American people if that was the case, but only time will tell. Now, Brad, I'm going to turn our attention a little bit more towards California. We've got ourselves a hotly contested race out here between Meg Whitman and Jerry Brown for the governorship of California. And as a political strategist, first of all, in full disclosure, are you working with either
the
candidates?
No.
All right. So there's no bias here whatsoever. Kind of give us your breakdown of the Whitman-Brown race that is going on in California right now?
Well, if you look at all the surveys, it's a very close race.
Mm.
But it appears that Whitman has lost some ground in the race in the last couple of weeks. And the question, and it's really too early to know the answer to this question, is how much, if any, this new thing about her former maid is going to be an issue in the campaign.
Right.
Some people, it strikes people as the height of hypocrisy, because here you have a woman who's talking about cracking down on illegal immigrants, but she had one in her employ for 9 years, and some people are having a hard time believing that it took her 9 years to figure this out. So the question is whether that's going to hurt her, and if it does, how much. But right now, I think it's a very close race. I also think your Senate race between Farina and Boxer is pretty close, although the same thing seems to be happening there, where Boxer is opening up a little bit more of a lead.
Yes.
But I think you're both tight races.
Well, let's go back to the governorship, because that is, I believe, a tighter race right now. You're right, Boxer is opening up a bit of a lead in the Senate race. But looking at the expenditures, the money being spent right now on that race, you have Whitman, who has spent a record amount of money for any gubernatorial race. If she goes on to win, or if she doesn't go on to win, talk to me about the money and what sort of a precedent is this setting?
Well, first of all, she's not only now spent the most money in a governor's race, she has spent more money now than in any political race in American history. The past record holder, who she passed sometime last week, was Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York City. And sometime in the middle of last week, Whitman went over the mark that Bloomberg had set in his last campaign for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I think it set a very bad precedent. We are getting to the point where the only way that you can be a viable candidate for political office is to have money of your own. And if you look at the candidates who are running for office across this country, honestly, there are a hell of a lot of them who have a lot of money. And because campaigns are so expensive, especially in California, it's becoming more of a money game than a political game, and I don't think that's good for anybody, except for the TV stations.
Right, and the radio stations. Leave out the radio stations. Yep. We're talking to Brad Bannon, everybody, one of this country's top political analysts. And, Brad, time is just flying by. Before we get back to you with another question, a big shout-out to Juan Garcia. Juan, you are the winner of the sandwich or salad from Urbane Cafe. If you called in and you didn't win this half hour, remember there will be another sandwich or salad to give away in the second half hour. So keep the number 639-0008 handy. Brad, we only have about a minute left, and in that time that is remaining, I wanted to ask you about the Bush tax cuts. You know, what is your stance and what are your thoughts on letting the Bush tax cuts expire? Congress has walked away from this issue, has not made any kind of a decision prior to the elections. What message is that sending to the American people? And if the tax cuts are repealed, what effect do you think that'll have on the economy?
I think the failure of Congress to deal with the issue confirms the feeling that Americans already have, that Congress is pretty useless. Now, in terms of the Bush tax cuts themselves, I think what they should do is do what the president wants, which is to keep the tax cuts for Americans making less than $250,000 a year, and repeal the tax cuts for people making more than $250,000 a year.
Well, there's a substantial body of evidence, though, Brad, and if you look at the EU with countries that were trying to reduce their overall debt in the EU, one of the things that they do is they never increase taxes. They always cut spending, and historically, in 9 out of 10 cases, that has allowed them to reduce their overall deficit and gain admission into the EU. So what are we missing here?
The difference between the United States and Europe, if you look at Europe, income is more evenly distributed across the population than it is in the United States. In the United States, you have a small group of wealthy people who control about, 5% of the top income earners in the country have about 50% of all the wealth in the country, and you don't see those kind of gaps in Europe. And I think, first of all, if you do repeal the tax cuts for rich Americans, you're going to have another $800 million coming into the federal treasury, which would go at least part of the way to eliminating the federal budget deficit.
Now, that's interesting. So you're thinking that the wealthy people who have access to all that money won't hire good lawyers to find loopholes to not pay that money?
Well, but let's put it this way. It will make it harder for them to do that.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Brad, we're out of time. I want to continue this discussion at some point in the future. I know you're extremely busy between now and November the 2nd, but perhaps after the election we'll have you back on. And the topic I want to discuss when you come back on is increasing the size of the Congress. You know, we're definitely underrepresented in the House of Representatives. Maybe it's time for us to take a look at that. I'd love to get your opinions on that at some point in the future. Brad, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure.